earlier this week, and my wife came to me really quite excited and said, would I read this? And this is what she gave me to read. It's called Sound. There is a new sound, a clear sound, a sound that rings clear and true through the heavens to earth. It's the sound of my voice, the sound of my word, born on a fresh wind of my spirit to the hearts of my people. Open your hearts. Listen afresh for the sound of my voice, the sound of my word, moving on the wind of my spirit, the sound of clarity and truth. For my word is life and truth to you. Like the sound of many waters is my voice. Like the sound of a rippling brook is my voice. Like the sound of crashing waves on the seashore is my voice. Like the sound of many waters is my voice. Like music to your soul, it is my voice. Listen to the sound of my voice. There is a new sound, a clear sound, that rings clear and true through the heavens to earth, the sound of my word, born afresh on the wind of my spirit to my people. A healing, delivering, cleansing, restoring, reviving sound. Listen afresh for the sound of my voice, the sound of my words of life and truth.
Amen. Hallelujah. While we were worshiping this morning, I know I shared this last week at one of our meetings, and that's the picture that I got was from Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. And see, one of the things that we are in a prophetic age, we're in a prophetic time, And prophecy is declaring that which is to come. It hasn't happened yet, but it is to come. And it is looking through faith, and we are talking about faith, and I will come on to that. But something that stirred me up when we sang that song, like a rushing mighty wind. Lord, breathe upon your people. And this scripture really came to me. And you know the story in Ezekiel 37, where God speaks to Ezekiel. And he tells Ezekiel to prophesy. He says, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones, these dry bones. And I believe there are people around us in New Malden and around these areas where their lives have gone dry. There's dryness everywhere. And God tells Ezekiel, prophesy. In other words, speak the word of the Lord. Speak what God wants to do in their lives. And I believe as a church, we are a prophetic church, and we are going to speak into New Malden, speak into the surrounding areas, and we're going to command, as the scripture says, that these dry bones to start living again. Amen? We're going to command the dry bones to start living again. And the Lord says in verse 5 of 37, thus says the Lord God to those bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And I declare this morning that people will come alive with the message and the gospel of Jesus, that God will breathe his life into people in this area, that the people in this area will be impacted by the love and the power of Jesus Christ, and they will start to live again. And it says here, Ezekiel says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I just declare that God will start to fix people, because only God can fix a human being. And I declare that there is an army of people in this area where God is preparing us as a people to start declaring God's purposes, God's power into this area. And I know that this area will come alive in Jesus. There'll be a rattling, there'll be a shaking, there'll be a noise that'll be created in this area where we will see God bringing the people in. Indeed, as I look, it says that the sinews, the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And I declare this morning, and I prophesy to the breath, to the four corners of the breath, the four winds, or breath, I say, come and breathe on those that are slain. Breathe on New Malden. Breathe on the surrounding areas. We want to see something happen. Do we want to see something happen? Do you want to see this area just come alive for Jesus? And I declare that this morning, and I prophesy to the four winds, O breath, breathe in this area that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And I declare that people in this area, surrounding areas, will stand on their feet when the breath of God starts to breathe on their lives. There will be an exceeding army of people who will be gathered together in this place. There won't be seats. This hall will not be enough to contain that which God has for us. I declare that by faith this morning in the name of Jesus. And I want you to take that in your spirit, catch it in your spirit, and begin to declare every day and say, God, we declare, we prophesy to the winds, we prophesy that this place will be impacted with the glory of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just thought I have to share that with you this morning. Hallelujah. Well, we have been talking about faith. And last week I spoke about faith as well. And today I'm going to continue on the subject of faith. And today I'm going to focus on the spoken word. The spoken word that comes by faith. That when you speak, something happens. And that comes by faith. So God, I just ask you right now to bless your word to us. That you will speak, Lord, today. That we will hear and listen to you, that whatever we need from you, Holy Spirit, we receive it by faith right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there was a nun who was visiting many people in the community, sick people, going, talking to them, you know, visiting with them. And so she was on her way to visit one of these people. And on the way, her car ran out of petrol and it got stuck on the road. And so she was on a street where there was a petrol shed close by. So she thought, let me just walk to the petrol shed and ask the chap for a container and get some petrol, put in my car so that I can continue my journey. So she goes to the petrol station, which is on the next street. And she asked the man, do you have something for me that I can put some petrol in and start my car? He said, oh, I'm so sorry. The last container that I had given it to someone. And I hope they will bring it back soon. So if you wait for some time, you know, you can probably take some petrol with you. But she, you know, was in a rush. She was in a hurry to go and see the next person that she needed to pray for. And she went back to her car. And she was thinking, let me look around in my car and see what I can find in this car. And she rummaged through her boot and she looked for some container, something. And she found a bedpan. And she said, ah, this will do. So she walks back with the bedpan. And she fills the bedpan with some petrol. And she comes back to the car. Now she's starting to pour this petrol into the car from the bedpan. And two people are walking by. They look at this woman. And this go, wow. And one of them turns and tells the other man, now that is what I call faith. I hope you got that. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith. Hallelujah. It can come from a bedpan too. Now let's turn to Matthew 8 and verses 5. If you didn't get it, ask me. Ask Adrian, he'll tell you. Matthew 8 verses 5 to 13. Here's an amazing, fantastic story about a Roman army officer or centurion, as some of your Bibles will say. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. I'm reading from God's Word translation. So when Jesus went to Capernaum, a Roman army officer or a centurion came to beg him for help. The officer said, "Sir, my servant is living at home, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said to him, "I'll come and heal him." Verse 8, the officer responded, "Sir, I don't deserve to have you come into my house, but just give a command and my servant will be healed. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. I tell my servant, do this, and he does it." Verse 10, Jesus was amazed when he heard this. He said to those who were following him, "I can guarantee this truth. I haven't found faith as great as this in anyone in Israel." Verse 11, "I can guarantee that many will come from all over the world. They will eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 12, "The citizens of that kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. People will cry and be in extreme pain there." Jesus told the officer, "Go, what you believed will be done for you." And at that moment, the servant was healed. Hallelujah. What an amazing, powerful story. You can see the extent to which Jesus is willing to go to show compassion and bring out something good out of a hopeless or bad situation. I mean, imagine Jesus, he's walking, there are thousands of people following him. One army officer comes to him, and he's a Roman officer. And if you read history, the Jews did not like the Romans because they were oppressing the Jews. And so for Jesus to give time for this Roman officer must show that Jesus puts value on each and every person. Be it whether you are a person who is a Jew, or not a Jew. That's why it says there in verse 11, "I can guarantee that many will come from all over," in other words, from all over the world, from every nation, from every tribe, people will come to know Jesus. And it says in verse 12 that the Jews will sometimes, they have missed the first one. We hope they won't miss the second one. And that's what it means there in 11 and 12. And Jesus has time for this one centurion who comes to him. John 3:16 tells us that whoever, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, say whoever, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This centurion was the whoever. He wasn't a Jew. It was a whoever. This army officer. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. As you listen to me this morning, as you listen to the word of God this morning, something arises in you, and that is faith to believe. Faith comes by hearing. And I'm sure this army general or army captain would have heard a lot about Jesus. In fact, he may have seen Jesus doing some amazing miracles because he was a Roman officer. Can you picture that? Going off on his horse, you know, down the street, going through the streets of Judea. Looking around, he sees Jesus and Jesus doing some amazing miracles. He must have seen all that. He must have got word from the soldiers that were serving under him. And he had decided Like the man that I spoke about last week, the man who had leprosy, he had decided that if he could get to Jesus, something good could come out of his servant. It was not for him, it was for his servant. And he thought, if I could just get to Jesus, something good could happen. Now, let's bear in mind that this was a Roman officer who had, the Jews had nothing to do with the Romans. And you can imagine a Roman officer having to, in a sense, humble himself and come to Jesus. Being a Roman, would have been a hard thing for him to do, to come to Jesus and ask for help. Because it was always the other way around. The Jews used to ask help from the Romans. But here was a Roman general who cut through everything, cut through the crowds, didn't think about himself. His one motivation was, I want my servant to be well. And he knew that somewhere, somehow, Jesus could sort his situation, could bring a solution to his situation. And he comes and he begs and he asks for Jesus. And here's the faith that this man has. He says, only say the word. Just command Jesus, and I know some miracle will happen. Here's my first point. You have the spoken power of faith in you. You have the spoken power of faith in you. And I think many times we encounter situations in our lives where we have to stand in the gap for family, for friends, in times of desperation, in times of need. How many have stood in the gap for people? I know you have stood in the gap, and that happens often, doesn't it? Because we are about people. The amazing difference now from when it was in the time of Jesus, following the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I have the power to speak the word of faith and see amazing results unfold right before our very eyes. Because of Jesus, we have the authority and the power to say that. In verse 8, the centurion tells Jesus only to speak a word. Command the word, the centurion said, and my servant will be well. And Jesus marvels at the faith of this one man. The captain, the army officer, knew what authority was because he was a man who had authority. He was under authority and he knew what authority was. And so he could come to Jesus, he could look at Jesus, and I think he saw the authority that Jesus had. Why? Because wherever Jesus went, people were following, but not by the tens, hundreds, thousands were following Jesus. There must have been something in Jesus of authority and power that attracted all these people, right? There has to be something about Jesus. And he knew that Jesus was a man of authority and power. And so he, understanding what authority was, comes to Jesus because he knew Jesus had the answer. And I believe you and I, today when we come, even sitting here this morning, that we understand and realize the authority and the power of Jesus. And it's only through his authority and power that is given to us that we can speak the word, that we can bring into a hopeless situation, we can bring life, we can bring power, we can bring healing, we can bring restoration into a position or place where people are desperate. You and I can do that. Amen? Tell your neighbor, that's for you. All authority. Jesus said, all authority and power has been given to us. All authority. Does he say some? No. All authority and power has been given to us. See, when we know the authority we have in the name of Jesus, and when we and the resurrection power of Jesus, when we know we have the resurrection power of Jesus in us, we can say the word and see the miracle. We can say the word and see the miracle. To see the miracle, you got to say the word. Amen. You got to speak the word. Thinking doesn't help. Speaking helps. And sometimes we spend time thinking a lot about everything. We think about our situation, our condition, our problems. But I want to encourage you to start speaking to your situation, speaking to your problem, speaking to your sickness, speaking to your disease, speaking. Because words carry power. Hallelujah. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus calls his disciples and he gives them power and authority over what? Over all demons. Hallelujah. Did you know that all demons are subject to the name of Jesus? And did you know that all demons are subject to you through the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Every demonic thing, every satanic thing has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. All principality, power, rulers in high places bows its knee to the name of Jesus. That's why we can go into a demonic situation. We can declare the name of Jesus and see people delivered from satanic oppression, satanic things that come that Satan has put on them, or demonic possession. We can set people free in and through the power and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. You can say amen to that. You can shout a hallelujah to that. You can go into the darkest place and you can stand up in the name of Jesus. I know I come from Sri Lanka, and we have seen many people who are possessed by demonic spirits. And you know what happens? When they come into the presence of God, they shake. They shake vehemently. They roll. They grind on the ground. They crawl around. We see manifestations of demonic oppression. I remember praying for a woman. I was quite young, actually. And this woman was demon possessed. How did I know that? The moment we prayed and spoke the name of Jesus, she went like this. Now that's not natural. She looked fine. Then we knew she was possessed. And there's something that happens when people are possessed. They get superhuman power. They become very strong because a demon has possessed them. But thank God, we declared the name of Jesus. We commanded that evil spirit. Did it go at once? It didn't. We had to keep persisting. We had to keep praying and say, right, we are not listening to you. You have to leave this woman. You had to get out, because we are declaring the name of Jesus. And with a bit of, a lot of push, a lot of, declaring the name of Jesus and faith, activation of our faith, that woman was delivered. Hallelujah. From that being, she was, you could hold her down. She could have clobbered you. You would have gone flying. This small maid lady. But thank God Jesus set her free. And when she set free, her face changed. Her whole persona changed. She was a different woman. Hallelujah for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for the name of Jesus. Jesus has given you, tell your neighbor, that's you, the same authority, same power. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Jesus called his disciples. He gives them power and authority over all demons and to cure or heal all diseases. All diseases. Matthew records the same thing in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 1, where he calls the 12 disciples to him and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You and I don't have to be afraid of the demonic realm. They are afraid of us. Hallelujah. They are afraid of us. He calls his disciples and he gives them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds, it says, all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Hallelujah. That's why we can lay hands on people who are sick of all manner of sicknesses and we can speak in the name of Jesus. You and I, we carry the miraculous dunamis or dynamite power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in you. Hallelujah. He's given you authority to speak his word and see the miracle. If there's one thing you want to take away today, speak God's word and see your miracle. Speak God's word and see your miracle. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verses 12 to 14, I can guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me, says Jesus, will do the things that I am doing. What did Jesus say? Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. Verse 13, I will do anything you ask the Father in my name so that the Father will be given glory because of the Son. Verse 14, if you ask me to do something, I will do it. Jesus guarantees this truth. Those who believe, those who put their trust in, put their confidence in Jesus, and they come to a place of saying, I am not going to let go. I am not going to give up. I'm not going to stand. I am going to stand my ground in faith. I am going to hold on no matter what. I'm going to grapple. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God. I'm going to persist. I'm going to endure in faith, believing that a change in my attitude will bring a change in my behavior. And I'm going to declare that all unbelief and all things that are not of faith will disappear in the name of Jesus. And I will come to a place of hope and know that through my God, I can do valiantly. Hallelujah. There is a guarantee that the greater things will be accomplished when we don't give up. Never give up on your faith in Jesus. It's a good faith. It's a generous faith. It's a faith that activates the supernatural into the natural. It's a faith that activates the supernatural, brings it into the natural. That's the faith we have in Jesus. Now, things sometimes do not happen in our time scale, and that's the difficult part. How many know if you've been Christian for a while? You got to go through some stuff. You got to endure some degree of suffering. Let me put it straight out there. It's not an easy road walking with Jesus. But he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He said his road will not be easy because it's narrow. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. But I tell you something. When we have an attitude of, I will not give up, but Lord, I will hold on. I will pursue. I will persist. I will endure. I will hang on no matter what happens to me, no matter how many people come against me, no matter how many people say things against me, no matter how many people ridicule me, no matter how many people call me you this, you that, you so and so. Lord, I know that through you, I have the victory. I have the authority to speak your word into my life, into my situation. And God, I will hang on to you. I will hold on unto you for dear life, because I know that in and through you do I have the victory, do I have the power, do I have the authority, do I have the anointing, because it's through the name of Jesus. And you can come out of your situation because of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. So let's look at a practical application of what I've been talking about this morning. When you're faced with a hopeless situation and it seems like all is lost, shout a hallelujah when you feel everything is lost. When you're in a hopeless situation, don't look at the hopeless situation and say, oh God, I'm in a hopeless situation. Everything is gone. I'm going downstream. I'm going down a spiral. Say hallelujah, because there is hope for you. There is hope for you. Why? Because you are willing. If you are willing to put your trust in Jesus, put your confidence in Jesus, there will be a miracle waiting on the other side of your speaking into your hopelessness. Amen. Let's learn to speak into our hopelessness in life so that a miracle can happen on the other side of it. Here's a saying that I'm going to keep saying today, and I wanted to catch it. Your miracle, say your miracle. Say my miracle is in my mouth. Say it again. My miracle is in my mouth. You have got to speak the word in faith. Hallelujah. You got to speak the word in faith. Your miracle is in your mouth. Jesus said that he will do anything we ask the Father in his name. Why? Because that brings glory to the Father through Jesus the Son. What a promise. The question is, are we asking in faith? Are we declaring the conviction of the truth of who Jesus is in our situation? See, there's got to be a conviction of truth in us. We got to be convinced that Jesus is Lord. We got to be convinced that Jesus died for our sin, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me, that Jesus is the only way, he's the only truth, and he's the only life to the Father, that in and through Jesus we have the victory, that Jesus is the only one, the only Savior, the only Lord of our lives. We got to have a conviction in us. Then we can ask. Then we can ask. What is faith? Is believing God for something that you cannot see at this present time. However, you have the belief and the hope that what you have asked for or prayed for and believed for is coming to you. It's a bit like this. Faith is a bit like putting petrol in your car. You know, you're putting fuel in your life. It's a bit like that, where you know that you're giving it momentum. You're giving it some energy. And you're believing that the request that you made before God is coming to you. The request, the prayer, the declaration that you made before God of whatever situation you've been in is coming to you. Today, we are able to lay hands on people who are sick and see them get healed. And Jesus said that we will do the same things that he did. But he didn't stop there. He said we will do the things, even greater things than he did. I learned this very recently. I was thinking about these greater things. And I was reading this and I was quite amazed. And it says here, in the Greek word, when translated, the Greek word for greater there refers to volume or the amount of. And it suddenly clicked. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Because Jesus did the most outstanding of miracles, correct? Yeah. And when he talks about the greater things, it's not saying that we're going to do even greater things than what Jesus did. Are you getting it? You know what it means? It means this, that as the body of Jesus Christ builds and spreads and is global, people all over the world will be healed and made whole. And there will be a volume of people being healed and being made whole. Those are the greater things that Jesus was talking about when he said that we will do greater things. Did you get that? In the time of Jesus, he was in one place at one time, correct? And is able to impact the people in that area, in that vicinity. Today, you and I, and globally, right across the world, imagine the thousands of people who are being healed right now. Hallelujah. Greater works, the greater things of God. When what Jesus did was amazing, what's happening now is even more amazing, because thousands of people are being healed in and through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to end with this scripture, Mark 16, verses 17 to 18, in God's Word translation says this. These are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. They will use the power and authority of my name to force demons out of people. Hallelujah. What does it say? These are the miraculous signs that will accompany or follow the people who believe in Jesus. They will use the power and authority of the name of Jesus to do what? To force demons out of people. Hallelujah. You know something? Church people are possessed today by all sorts of things. People are oppressed by the devil as we speak. There are people who need deliverance and healing. You and I have the authority to bring that deliverance, to bring that healing. And I want to encourage you, church, don't wait for me. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for a preacher from somewhere else to come. You take that responsibility. You have the same authority that Jesus had. You have it in you. And all he wants you to do is have some guts, have some boldness, have some courage to go to that person in need, to go to that person who is sick, to go to that person in a desperate situation and say, look, like Paul and Silas on the way to the temple by the gate beautiful, when they saw that man was lame from birth sitting at the gate beautiful, they said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And I tell you, church, you don't have to be a rich man. You don't have to be a man with possessions. You don't have to live in a fantastic house. You don't have to have a flashy car. All you need is faith, simple, spoken faith in the name of Jesus. If there's one thing that I can get across to you, it's the time to start speaking, start seeking out people who are desperate in their lives, who need a touch from God, and to speak by faith, because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's about His power. It's not about you feeling shy or ashamed. It's about Jesus. And all he wants us to do is pluck up the courage to speak into somebody's life and say, look, I'm just going to pray for you because my Bible tells me that Jesus will heal you. He's given me authority. He's given me power. I'm just going to pray over you and let Jesus do whatever he wants to do. It says here, they will speak new languages. They will pick up snakes. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. What does that mean? In other words, when we get involved accidentally without our knowing in things that the enemy tries to ensnare us, if you pick up a snake, you know what will happen, don't you? A snake won't smile at you and say, oh, hi, you know, you look good. You can't play games with the enemy and not get away getting hurt. And the Bible tells us that we'll be able to pick up things that the enemy tries to put in our path. And even if we accidentally, you know, get involved in things that are poisonous and things that are try to destroy our lives, the Bible tells us it will not hurt us. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That God gives us the victory through Jesus. And then he says they will place their hands on the sick and cure them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have authority. You have power. These hands that you have, they are anointed. Put your hands in front of you. Just declare this right now in the name of Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I thank you for these hands. And I declare that these hands have authority, have power in the name of Jesus to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring your power, to bring your victory into any situation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have this authority. You have this power. Who wouldn't want this? Isn't it amazing? You and I walking out from here today, seeing someone unwell, somebody's sick in your family, someone sick in your office, that you can say, look, can I just pray for you? And seeing the miraculous power of Jesus. But it comes to those who believe in his name. And I believe we are people who know Jesus this morning. You have to believe in the name of Jesus. Let's activate it right now. Are you ready? Can we do that? Let's all stand. Who needs a touch this morning? Who needs a touch from Jesus? Slip your hand up. You need a touch this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I want you to look around, those of you whose hands are not raised. And I want you to just go to the people. You have power. You have authority. Amen. And I just want to lay hands and say, in the name of Jesus, whatever your situation is, we bring it under the authority and the power of Jesus. And all it says, be it according to your faith. Be it to you according to your faith. Hallelujah. Let's do that very quickly. Just move around very quickly, Bob at the back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This week, that you will give us somebody, God, that will put in our part somebody who needs a spoken word, who needs a miracle. God, I pray you will show yourself strong. You will prove that you are God through this house, oh God. You will prove yourself to be strong through this house, oh God, through your people, oh God. That next week when we come back, we'll have testimony to say, I laid hands on that man. I laid hands on that woman. And that woman was, man was healed. That woman's situation was changed. Hallelujah. And we will give glory and honor to the Father through Jesus. Thank you, Father. God, we praise you, for you're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. Thank you for your healing this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for setting people free.